And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
The living brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara County. Just a reminder, please take my poll up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. It's where I ask a very simple question. Are you going to make a resolution for 2012, yes or no? Go on the site. You'll see the survey or the poll down on the right-hand side of the homepage. That's at brainstormingonline.com. Brainstorming, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. I'll give you the results of the poll just a little bit later in the week. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is technology drivers. Each of my guests is discussing how technology impacts our lives, both yesterday and today, and for better or for worse. My next guest is a local computer service company owner, a radio show host, and author of the book, The Boss's Guide to Smarter IT. We'll debate whether or not we're better off today than we were 5 years ago because of technology. And this is something you want to join in the conversation, give us a call at 639-0008. We'd love to hear from all listeners. Ken May is the co-owner of Swift Chip Incorporated, a full-service IT company with locations in Beverly Hills and Ventura, California. Swift Chip serves all of Los Angeles, Ventura, and Southern Santa Barbara counties. Ken has a bachelor's degree in liberal arts from Thomas Aquinas College and a master's degree from the Santa Barbara COM and is studied in Japan and in China. He hosts his own radio show, Tech Talk with Ken May. You're going to be heard on KVTA News Talk 1520. The show is also streamable at his blog, which is kenmay.net, and is available on iTunes as well. Ken is happily married, has two beautiful little girls. His passions include travel, music, and Chinese martial arts. Welcome to the show, Ken. How are you
Thank
doing?
You, Bill. Thank you. That's a very nice little intro there.
Well, glad to have you on the show. I love to have thought leaders on the show, and we're going to just take the gloves off and duke this one out.
Because
for purposes of this discussion, we're going to take a look at the last 5 years to decide whether or not we are better off because of technology. You're going to represent all of the positive aspects of technology, and I am going to be the Luddite.
Excellent.
So here's the question. In what ways has technology made our lives better in the last 5 years?
Well, you know, that was a good question. And when I first heard the question, and I wanted to take a look and see, like, you know, things happen so fast in the world of technology 5 years ago that's it almost is like an eternity in terms of technology. So 5 years ago, brand new to come out was Windows Vista, the last version of Windows operating system. The PlayStation 3 had just come out. The iPhone was announced in the beginning of 2007, the first iPhone. The one laptop per child project had just been announced. The Amazon Kindle was just released. Facebook had just opened its doors to the public, and I signed up shortly there afterwards. So it's lots of, you know, things that have dramatically shaped the way that we live and do business today was really kind of just getting going then. And it's interesting to see how the seeds of those things have really kind of developed today. Definitely, I can say, I mean, social media has really risen to the forefront of such an integral part of our daily lives and even our business, marketing and research and prospecting and that sort of things, that it's almost amazing to kind of imagine how we would still be doing the things that we're doing today without some of these tools, and how much easier it makes, especially marketing, in my opinion. Social media makes that so much easier. We were talking during the break. My mother, you know, she was the biggest Luddite for a long, long time. And finally, she up and got herself an iPhone, and then eventually got herself an iPod, and now an iPad as well. But we're using Skype to do video conferencing. So, you know, she lives a couple hours away, and now we're doing streaming full motion video so she can see the kids, you know, and, you know, read them a bedtime story.
Well, and I think that's wonderful, but I want to talk about the qualitative aspects
nice.
Of it. Yeah,
okay.
The iPhone is great. Windows Vista, as we all know, was doomed to the dust heap of life now. But the reality is there have been some good things and some bad things.
Sure.
I'm asking about qualitative.
Okay.
That last part of your answer was great. Now your mother can read bedtime stories to your grandchildren and she's several hours away. That is a positive thing. Are we better off because of the technology that we have from 5 years ago? Does Facebook make me better?
Well, it's interesting because there's definitely I've talked both about the pluses and minuses of it. The pluses, I think, of the rise of social media really is that it enables us to have regular, everyday, light little personal touches and interactions with people that we wouldn't often normally have the opportunity to. Friends from high school, from college, friends on the East Coast, things like that, where, you know, they may have been great friends, but our lives grow apart a little bit, but it's kind of nice to be able to check in and, you know, you see, oh, someone had a kid, and it might be a way to kind of rekindle more of a relationship and things like that. Again, like I mentioned with, you know, family and things like that, it's a very wonderful kind of convenient way to kind of pop in once a day and see, oh, that's what my sister was doing today, you know, things like that.
Sure, but you see posts on Twitter and on Facebook, my cat just rolled over. I'm having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. How is that adding value to the life? That is just bits of information that are clogging up the internet, as far as I'm concerned.
There's definitely two ways of looking at it. And one is that, like, yeah, sure, a lot of people just like babble a bunch of kind of nothingness anyway, and you have to kind of filter it out. But the other, probably the best sort of response I've heard to that specific question is that what it's doing really is giving you an overall picture. It's this ambient intimacy, which is a term I learned from an interview I did on my show with one of the authors of the Twitter book, which was really interesting. I thought, wow, that's a really interesting concept, ambient intimacy. It's a chance to see these personal little things going on day to day in a person's life that, for a lot of people, they don't really care. But hey, for someone who's a really close friend of yours or someone that you care about, maybe you do care that their cat's doing well. Maybe you do care what they had for lunch. Maybe you don't, but it's still giving you a chance to be close to a person in a very personal way.
Ambient intimacy. I like that. I've written it down. My guest is Ken May. He's a talker on KVTA, just as I am, but he's also the author of the book, The Boss's Guide to Smarter IT. We're debating whether or not technology has made us better off. Ambient intimacy is an interesting term because on the one hand, it makes it sound like we can be connected with all of our friends. But on the other hand, it's just one step removed from being a voyeur on the internet, because all you're doing is just watching other people's lives.
Absolutely. I really do believe, and I'm in a growing minority, actually, that there is definitely something that simply cannot be gained just from, you know, digital interaction, that there is much that is lost from face-to-face interaction and personal contact and things like that. So I definitely will agree with you that the biggest danger of strictly online interaction and social media is that people are taking it as a 100% acceptable substitute for in-person interaction. And it's a lot of people believe very strongly that there is absolutely no difference. And maybe it's something that's somewhat difficult to define, but I still think that there are a lot of things that are completely incapable of coming across from even just a Skype video chat.
Well, that is true. My guest is Ken May. We're debating whether or not we are better off than we were 5 years ago because of technology. Ken, let me just roll some things your way to talk about the downsides of technology. All right. First of all, high-frequency trading, where computers trading on Wall Street, that has created great volatility in the stock markets and has literally wiped out billions of dollars of wealth for middle Americans. Computerization and automation has eliminated many American jobs, most of which may not come back. Unemployment is hovering at 8.6%. Doesn't look likely that it's even going to come down in time for the election 12 months from now. High-speed communications has made it possible to move jobs offshore to countries like India and China, and we see much of that. We've sequenced the human genome. We did that back in the 1990s. But where are the personalized medicines that are going to go with my genome? Right. What have we done to advance science in heart disease, curing cancer, curing AIDS? In fact, we've done nothing in those areas. The only thing that we've done is drive up the cost of healthcare to where it's affordable and can actually bankrupt some families if they happen to come up with cancer or heart disease.
I have to stop you real quick. I think it's completely unfair to say that nothing has been done in those fields, heart disease, cancer, and AIDS. There have been dramatic advances in all three of those, even in just the last 5 years, but it takes decades to bring some of these technologies to, you know, the man on the street, and, you know, between continuing research and FDA approval processes and things like that. It can take a long, long time.
All right. I will give you that, and we'll go on because there are many, many more on my list. I will concede that point.
Great.
All right. High-speed access, and there are computers in every classroom. Every school is wired now, and yet our math and our language scores drop compared to the rest of the mechanized world. For all of the advancements that we've had in battery technology, wind and solar power, we are still addicted to oil. Where are the flying cars, Ken? When I was growing up, man, that was the promise. I was going to have a flying car.
They may never be here, but at least we're making great strides towards driverless cars.
All right. But here's something else. All right. Communications, and this has happened over the last 5 years because we've moved away from email, which is a predominant way that businesses and people communicated, to short message texting and that kind of thing.
Sure.
And it's literally driving the U.S. Post Office out of existence.
Sure.
And soon we're going to cut back in service, no Saturdays, et cetera, et cetera. E-commerce is killing the bricks and mortar stores. You probably read the story that Sears and Kmart is going to close 200 stores nationally.
I saw that.
Because they can't keep up. And the list goes on and on. I don't want to belabor the point and sound like the total Luddite, but the reality is qualitatively, why are we better off today than we were 5 years ago?
Well, I think I could speak individually to most of these things here and give you some alternative viewpoints on some of those. And I think some of these actually I would agree with you with. But overall, I would say that absolutely America and the world, we're really going through some growing pains right now. Technology has dramatically changed the way that we live and do business, and we're still figuring out ways to make it work. And some things work, some things don't, some things come, some things go. And we're still sorting out the best way to do these sorts of things. I think, unfortunately, education is definitely one of the ones I would agree with you the most, particularly in California. I think we're one of the worst in the nation. There's plenty of reasons that I think are, a lot of which is administrative, that is causing a lot of problems with existing political policies and things like that. I don't know that technology itself has had actually any impact on that. I think it's more political policies. And we could probably do a whole show just on that.
We certainly could. But let's not go down that path. Sure, let's stay on technology.
Sure, sure. But I think, like I said, I really think that we're still figuring it out as we go along. I mean, there is no 5-year, 10-year plan, you know, for the world, for how to implement technology. Just individual people and businesses trying to figure out the best way to get things done.
Aha. My guess is Ken May. And Ken, that brings me to exactly the point that I wanted to make. Advancements in technologies always require trade-offs.
Certainly.
Okay, we trade off privacy for speed. You know, as a society, how do we evaluate these trade-offs? You know, how do we let the market decide and free market capitalism decides? Or what are some of the, and then you never know about the unintended consequences as
sure.
well.
Well, definitely, as an IT provider, a man in the trenches, as it were, you know, seeing the results of these things from day to day, it's impossible to make a completely blanket statement answer to your blanket question. It is not the same for everybody. For a high school kid who, you know, is just out there and doesn't really care, you know, he has a completely different way of interacting with the world and utilizing technology than, you know, the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. There's very different paths for different people. I think one of the things you mentioned is actually one of the most important is finding the trade-off between privacy and convenience. And that can be very tricky. Privacy is definitely one of the issues that's becoming more and more a forefront, at least in my mind, of important issues of the day and age, as it's slowly getting, you know, eroded. Actually, maybe not slowly, depending on where you live. I mean, look at London. The city is blanketed in CCTV cameras, completely blanketed. And arguments about it fighting crime, you know, statistically are showing that, well, a lot of it doesn't really do much good. In fact, I just wrote an article about the CCTV cameras set up in Los Angeles. I think there's like 60-something of them. Over 2/3 of them are either unmonitored or broken, and they don't have the staff to keep up with them.
Well, that's a very sad statement. The same would hold true for here in Ventura as
sure.
well. My guest is Ken May. Let's stay on this topic because this is very important, these trade-offs, and particularly the privacy versus convenience trade-off.
Absolutely.
Let's take a look at some of these tools and the downsides to them. For example, Facebook. Facebook has become an unintended consequence of this. It's become a bullying medium, and it really creates problems for kids that get bullied online. It becomes a stalking medium where boys can stalk girls and girls can stalk boys. Foursquare, which is a derivative of Facebook, and it is a robbery mechanism. It allows you laugh, but
sure,
the reality
sure,
is
yeah.
if you post that you are at such and such a cafe and you're going to be there for the next 2 hours having dinner,
hey, your home's empty.
That yeah. means your home is empty.
Absolutely.
Exactly right.
Absolutely.
In fact, did you know that you're 5 times more likely to have your identity stolen than to have your house broken into?
And oh, yeah,
that identity stolen is a byproduct of this electronic age that we're living in. So my point is, these are major trade-offs. I'm
Absolutely.
Trading off some big-time stuff. My house could be robbed while I'm posting on the Foursquare. Who makes those kinds of decisions? How do we as a society cope with it?
Well, obviously, you know, if you're going to be – you need to think – ahead about some of these things, and a lot of people don't, which is the big problem. A rational person might say, oh yeah, hey, I saw in the news already that somebody posted they were away out of town on Facebook and they got broken into, so maybe if I'm either going to not post those kinds of things or invest in a security monitoring system or something like that, find another piece of technology to help with this other piece of technology.
Well, it sounds like piling problems on problems.
Well,
maybe.
It's entirely possible until we figure out exactly how all this is going to work. And that may be, you know, a pie in the sky sort of an ideal that never is actually reached. 5 years from now, we're going to be dealing with probably a completely different set of issues, or, you know, just further down the, and I'm sure further down the road with some of the issues we're dealing with now, things that we can't even conceive of now, you know, as being the case. It would have been very difficult to conceive of, you know, something like a Kindle or a tablet PC as being something so integral to the way that I do business. And now it is.
All right. My guest is Ken May. He is the co-owner of SwiftChip. He's also the author of a brand new book, The Boss's Guide to Smarter IT. And we are debating whether or not we are better off or worse off than we were 5 years ago because of technology. Now, Ken, is this the type of topic that you take up on your radio show, which is going to be premiering on KVTA?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're premiering January 7th, Saturdays from 7 to 8 a.m. We talk about this kind of stuff all the time. We tend to give a broader view of the latest in technology news and try and pick some of the articles to go into more depth and detail on. Topics like this one, like you said, I mean, we could do an entire show on just one of these questions. So part of our goals are to get some of the deeper tech news out to the people that maybe haven't found them. I read at least 500 to 700 articles a day and
wow,
cull it down to probably, you know, 20 a day, something like that. And people can call in and, of course, ask for technology help for all their devices and things like that as well, too, and ask questions just like yours. Hey, what do I do when my 12-year-old daughter is posting stuff on Facebook? I don't want her to. You know, we can talk about that.
That is a very big issue, and that kind of moves into more of Dr. Laura's territory than the IT territory, but nonetheless.
I think I definitely agree that parental involvement is more important than any sort of technology out there.
Right. Now, your show's on KVTA again. When? What time is it?
From 7 to 8 a.m. on Saturdays. Of course, it's also on iTunes, and of course, you can stream it directly or even just download the MP3 of the show right from the website. So if it's a little too early from you, you can listen whenever you like.
All right, that is great. My guest has been Ken May, who is the head of the host of Tech Talk with Ken May Today. He's also the author of the book, The Boss's Guide to Smarter IT. Ken, it has really been a delight. Thank you for coming in and batting around this topic with me on the air. We'll talk to you down the road.
Good as always, Bill. Thank you. Have a great one.
Thank you.